like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie. Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio. Welcome to Witch Police Radio. One of the things that, people who listen to the show know, I think, at this point, that I always like to have episodes where there's something imminently happening, whether it's an album release or a show or, in this case, a festival. And Manitoba, Winnipeg, and the province in general has, especially when the summer comes around, just like a wealth of festivals and big events like that, covering sort of every possible genre and style and type of music and other entertainment. So I think that to start this off today, we're talking about a very specific event. And if you want to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about the festival we're going to be talking about, and we can go from there.
Sure. So my name is Ashley Au. I am the artistic director of Cluster New Music and Integrated Arts Festival. This is a festival that's been running for 16 years. This is our sweet 16. I've been at the helm of the festival for about 5 years now.
Okay.
And this is a mostly primarily sound art festival, but it's new music and integrated arts. So there's experimental sound work, and then there's also work that kind of crosses into different disciplines of art. So we have some installations, we have like dance and like theatrical type performances.
Okay.
Also involved in the festival. Yeah.
And like, I mean, I didn't realize it'd been going for that long, but I've definitely heard the name. I haven't been to any of the shows, but every year I see the lineup and it always seems very interesting. Because of this sort of nature of this, it's maybe not as easily marketable or palatable to the average music listener who might not know what sound art is or may not have any frame of reference for some of the people performing at the events. Is there like sort of a Cole's Notes way to explain what that is for someone who maybe is new to it or hasn't heard it before?
Yeah, sure. I mean, new music has been kind of a term used to describe like contemporary classical music made like 20th century and beyond. And that was kind of like where the festival was really founded on presenting contemporary instrumental work not necessarily instrumental, all instrumental work. There was like, you know, work that uses like voices and whatnot.
Yeah.
But it was kind of geared towards a very niche audience at that point. And then from there, it's starting to grow and become a lot more interdisciplinary, multidisciplinary, and started incorporating like artists of all genres.
Okay.
And that's kind of the direction I've been taking it. I find like new music as a standalone genre or box a bit confining, and I've tried to open things up so that it's new music can encompass all different forms of music, all different types of artists who are really pushing the boundaries of their own personal practice or the form or the genre that they're rooted in.
Okay. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. New music also sort of seems like it can be used as an umbrella genre, right? Like you can definitely cover off a lot of different things because it's, I don't want to say it's vague, but I mean, new music could really, depending on who you're talking to, could mean a lot of different things.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, the goal for this festival from its very beginning was to support artists in presenting risk-taking work. So it's whatever is risk-taking for them.
In their
own practice, in what they've been doing and what they want to explore and what they want to share with folks. So
Well, this is maybe a difficult question then, because given sort of the breadth of the subject matter, but is there sort of a, who is the festival for? Who do you usually see coming to these events? Is it a pretty wide range of people, or are there people who are very specifically into this kind of stuff that, like, is there a community, I guess, for some elements of this wider new music genre?
I would say there's definitely a community of listeners out there, but ultimately I think this festival is for any person that wants to be a curious listener.
Okay.
So if you have open ears, if you want to hear something that you'll likely never hear live again, because every show is like incredibly unique.
Okay.
Then yeah, this festival is for you.
One of the things I sort of, I think a lot of people assume, and I definitely did when I first heard some of this kind of stuff, was that it almost seems challenging to get into, because there's not the obvious frame of reference a lot of people have when it comes to more sort of mainstream music or more, I guess, linear sort of music, right? So I don't want to say how can you get into this, because there's obviously a lot of different answers to that, but I mean, what should people expect if they're going to this festival for the first time, and maybe this is their first experience with new music in general? What are they looking for? Like, what kind of thing are you expecting to hear and see potentially?
I mean, what you're going to be hearing is sounds. You'll walk up into a venue just like in any other kind of concert. You'll get your staff on your wrist. You'll take a seat or stand around, grab a drink. And it's going to be artists that are pushing the limits of their own practice, playing what they know. And it's like the music is, I guess, like what's on the lineup this year is so varied. We have Slow Pitch Sound coming from Toronto, who's a sci-fi turntablist.
Cool.
So they take like analog turntables, scratch turntablism, and blend it with hardware synthesizers and like field recording, and create these really beautiful, vast soundscapes that are quite otherworldly, but also like very familiar, because they're borrowing from like sounds that you hear in your everyday, or that you're familiar with from other genres.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like, I guess it's not going to be a bunch of, I think a lot of people imagine, or when they imagine new music, they imagine like a bunch of instrumentalists playing things that sound a bit random and hard to contextualize.
Yeah.
And I think there could be elements of that, but it's also for me as a curator a bit of a surprise, because a lot of this work is being premiered here and is currently in process and being workshopped by artists right now.
Oh, cool. I kind of get the impression with a lot of the stuff too. I mean, obviously it's going to depend on the artist and depend on the piece of music they're making, but a lot of it seems very much that, kind of like you said, this is the first time you're going to hear this piece of music sort of created, maybe the only time, depending on what it is and what they're doing. Is that, when you're curating this, what are you looking for in terms of the artists you want to bring to this festival and bring to Winnipeg audience? I know those are kind of two questions I melded together, but yeah.
Sure. Artists that I'm interested in presenting are ones who are very game to try something new.
Okay.
Very game to collaborate. Often there's a couple collaborations here. One of them being like Laraji and Zoon. Laraji is an ambient artist who kind of came up through the 70s, was like a collaborator of Brian Eno's.
Oh, cool.
And Zoon is an artist originally from Manitoba who like spent some time in Toronto and Hamilton for a while, I believe. But they're, you know, in that kind of shoegazy,
yeah,
or I guess moccasin gaze, there is the genre that they've kind of pioneered.
Yeah, and then
these two artists.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
didn't mean to
go ahead. No, you can go ahead.
I was going to say, Zoon's been on the show before, and that is, I mean, of the names on the lineup, that was sort of the one that stood out because it's like, oh, I know who this is. I have some records. You know, like this is a familiar. I think
totally.
For a lot of Winnipeggers too, right? Just because of that history of being from the Selkirk area originally, and then playing shows here, and then, you know, kind of going on to bigger and better things. But that was cool to see on there, and I think that, I mean, shoegaze being sort of a more easier to digest genre for the average listener. But then when you're doing those collaborations, obviously things are going to change and you're probably going with something new and unique.
Yeah. Yeah. Laraji has kind of like experimented a lot more with like, zither or auto harp and running it through effects. And it's a very beautiful, beautiful work. Like it's quite meditative, and similarly to shoegaze, like there, I feel like there's a lot in common language-wise between those two artists, and I'm really curious to hear how it will all play out, because they happen to have done a show like this before, and it's it'll be very unique,
cool,
and special.
And this is happening through a bunch of different venues and a bunch of different events, right?
Yeah, we have let's see, we have 2, 3, 4, 5 shows, 1 installation, and some workshops that are happening.
Okay.
Yeah.
What goes into the workshops? I mean, that seems like, especially with some of this, you know, unique and maybe different styles of music and styles of creating, I imagine there's some interesting elements there that people can, you don't
want... I mean, the workshop that we're doing this year is called Graphic Scoring for Kids. And graphic scoring is like a type of notation that is a lot more visual. It's not like your standard Western notation where you have like a 5-line staff or whatever, but composers over the last like few decades have been, you know, experimenting with ways of notating things using different, I guess, like illustrative methods and symbols that artists can then, performers who are like reading the score can interpret.
Okay.
And it makes for a really interesting exchange as far as like translating a sound map into actual sound.
Yeah.
So we're doing this graphic scoring workshop for kids that's with some friends at Art City. So we'll have a person, a workshop facilitator, Nathan Cron from Savant Flair, amongst other ensembles in the city. They'll be leading the workshop. The kids will be creating their scores, and we'll have some live musicians on site to interpret them. And we'll have a little mini concert with everybody's compositions. It'll be fun and really cute.
That's a really cool idea. Yeah, I saw that stood out to me as well when I was looking at the lineup. Do you think the kids are maybe more don't have the hang-ups about what music is supposed to be and sort of the traditional structures of it?
Yeah, I think definitely they are. They don't have any sort of preconceptions, and they're open to trying things, making mistakes, and like not being super hard on themselves for not understanding things, because like, why would you understand all everything in the world this year? You've only been in it for like 7 years.
for sure. Yeah, and some of the music my kids made, like just playing around with instruments when they were younger, I wish I had recorded all of it, because there's definitely interesting ideas that an adult wouldn't think of, because you have it sort of, whether it's trained into you from listening to, you know, years and years of music and thinking this is how it's supposed to work or whatever, they don't have that. So that's, I think it's really cool they're involved in this.
Yeah, it's going to be a really cool workshop, and I'm excited to hear what everybody makes. Being open to hearing new things and just kind of like taking it in, not having to formulate a response right away,
yeah,
is what I want for everybody. And that's kind of why I put together a festival, the festival the way that I've put it together, is to just invite people to have an experience and to listen and be curious. And if it's something you can, your response can be, can range from being like, I liked that, to this is amazing and reminds me of all of these other things. Or it could be also like, it wasn't my thing, or yeah, I didn't really understand what that meant. And that's totally cool, because that's the point. As long as it's eliciting a response, that's what art's for.
And I imagine the more boundary pushing it is, the more of a response, whatever that response will be, you're going to get, right? I mean, whether
Absolutely.
It's positive, negative, something else, yeah. Who else is performing at this at these shows that, I mean, whether they're known names or not, like who else do you have on the lineup?
We have a Jamie Reimer, who's originally from Winnipeg, but has been based in Vancouver for a number of years. They are a vocalist, composer, and they're performing this piece called Soft Tongues, okay, which is for voice and electronics. And it explores kind of the overlap between the sonic realms of like amphibians and humans.
Okay.
It was originally like, it piqued my interest because when I had seen the proposal come through the call for submissions, it was It was billed as almost like a frog opera, which I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah,
I
for
need
sure,
to listen
yeah.
to this. And when I did, it was so gorgeous. Like, yeah, just completely otherworldly and definitely worth checking out.
Cool. How many artists in total are playing at the festival?
We have so we have Jamie, we have Slow Pitch Sound, we have Lustius and Gloriados, and also Lustius, Gloriados, Rihanna, and Caroline Bourne are doing a collaborative piece called Dirge the same night that Jamie Reimer is performing, which is the Friday, June 6th.
Okay.
We have Olivier Macheria, Eamon Scheel, Architect Percussion, Bing it in TV. There's a lot
of
folks coming through.
So yeah. If someone is new to the festival or wants to find out more, obviously you have a website with all the details and the events. What's the best way to find out what's happening? I mean, whether it's website, social media, elsewhere.
Yeah, it's definitely our website. You can follow us on Instagram, which is at Cluster Festival. And send us an email if you have any questions, you know.
Cool. And I guess most of the stuff's on the website too, as far as like the dates, times, venues.
Thank you.
How many days is this going across?
We're going from the 3rd to the 10th.
Okay, so it's a whole full week you got going there, yeah?
Yeah.
Has that grown over the years? Like, was it always a week-long festival, or is that something that's sort of come about through time?
It's kind of come about through time. It really kind of depends on the availability of artists. This year, we've been like really gunning to have Architect Percussion in to perform Corporate Retreat, which is the Quigital piece, but they were only available to perform it on the 10th, so we had to extend it past what we would normally do.
That makes sense.
But yeah, that'll.
Are the venues specifically selected as well for, you know, I mean, because a lot of this stuff is going to have very unique, specific, you know, a sound that requires potentially a certain type of room or a certain type of vibe.
Our first concert, which is the Slow Pitch Sound Show, is at Video Pool Meet the Arts Center's output space, which is the second floor of the Art Space building, 100 Arthur Street. And the rest of the shows are happening at the Westin Cultural Center. They've been a really great venue partner to us over the years. And it's such a great space because they really let us kind of take it over a bit. And we usually move all the shows onto the ground off of the stage so that there's a lot more of an intimate experience for the audiences. And and then we bring in a bunch of like huge screens and projectors and things to kind of create a bit more of an immersive experience.
Yeah. Is that side of it? I mean, does each artist have their own visuals that they have involved with this, or is this something that's sort of added to their performances?
A lot of them do actually have their own visuals. Like initially it was just a nice kind of backdrop that we would provide, but now more than ever, and I'm sure you see it in other kind of concerts and events that you go to,
for sure.
Like the projections have become a thing. So
yeah, even if it's just a logo in the background, we're in the future, and that's how people do things. Yeah, yeah.
We're in the future.
Yeah.
Nexus holograms, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do people get tickets for this? I imagine you could probably buy some at the door depending on the show, but what's the best way to actually get out to these?
The best way to get tickets is in advance online. Our tickets for all the ticketed events are $25 advanced and $30 at the door. We also have a festival pass, which is $60 for all of the events, which is a really great deal.
For sure, yeah, yeah. Compared to just going to a couple, that's you get to see a whole week of stuff. Yeah, for sure. What's the website address? I'll link to it in the show notes. But just if someone's listening in the car or something,
it's clusterfestival.com.
Awesome, and it runs from the 3rd to the 10th, and a bunch of venues, mostly the West End, it sounds like, but. I noticed that the website itself there's a lot going on there too. I mean, it was I was not expecting so much movement happening with all the names of the artists and stuff.
Yes,
so it seems like it fits. It just seems like it fits kind of the experimental vibe of the whole event.
Totally. Yeah, we just got it redone. So glad you enjoy the the moving.
Right on. Right
the
on.
Moving objects.
Yeah, for sure.
Of the softest known biological materials on this planet. This yields the stickiness to pluck a fly from midair, slough skin, and spin sound waves into promulgating chorusing networks. Stick your tongue out, catch the nighttime air, make the silence bear your slippery with moonlight, and no predator can take us all at once. consume me, unraveled like a song. The frog's tongue adheres to its prey with a special mucus-filled saliva 5 times stickier than honey. The tongue becomes a shock absorber. Many tongues, more shock. Amphibians molting mistake the ritual as a choking event. The frog carefully peels back vestiges of its old skin, revealing a new and supple layer beneath. The ewe skin is old, but not obsolete. Still replete with nutrients and proteins, the frog brings its skin back inside to play. The new skin is easier to breathe. To disappear into the old skin, once digested, will nourish a system, metabolize, resurrect.